the NFL podcast. Has a great swing on the softball field.
Oh, yes, we do. Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined in a conference room filled with some heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Can you turn me up in my headphones, Ricky? Turn me up in my headphones. Does that sound natural when I say it?
That was extremely organic.
That's good. Now it sounds good.
Cool.
Thanks, Ricky.
You got it.
Hi, Erica.
Hi.
Is this our last show in a conference room on the NFL media compound?
It is, yeah.
Wow.
So make the most of it.
What an experience it's been.
This would be where the montage comes in, and it's just us talking like schlubs for like five different like camera shots.
And me lugging equipment back and forth by myself, plugging in all this stuff.
Yeah, you've had the worst of it.
You don't have anybody. What about Eddie Spaghetti?
Yeah, no.
He's a strapping young man. He can't be helping you?
Yeah, I'm an independent woman who don't need no man.
I believe it, Ricky. This is the Thursday edition of the Around the NFL podcast. This is the final week of the summer where we just have two shows. That's it. Summer vacation is over for the boys. Greg Rosenthal back Monday, and all four of us heroes will be together three times a week starting next week when all the training camps open. In fact, we were talking about on Monday, Wes, some camps have indeed opened this week, including the Denver Broncos, your boys, Wes. And don't think I'm not noticing, Wes.
I don't think they're my boys.
Don't think I didn't notice this. They got to camp early.
Oh, yeah.
It all is checking out on your ledger in terms of you believe them to be a powerhouse, and look who's already practicing.
Their try-hard has gotten my attention because that's a try-hard move. Let's just get there before everyone else.
Newer people, newer listeners of the show might not be aware that our podcast has been way ahead of the curve tracking teams that report to whether it's organized team activities in the spring or training camp in August. The teams that report earlier are almost always the true powerhouses of football. The teams that report later, cough, cough, 2017 Lions, cough, cough, usually fall by the wayside.
I think that in Detroit's work speaks for itself.
What a disgrace.
Show up late and you spit out another hideously dull season.
Speaking of which, the Seattle Seahawks, I saw this report. They've decided to come to camp a week early this year.
But it's just the rookies, right?
Still. It's
never done that under Pete Carroll before.
And this is a playoff team last year. I don't have to ask you to connect the dots.
You're on the case, per usual.
Coming up on today's show, the mailbag is back. I forget about Jay Glazer or whatever competition is out there. I don't even track the competition. It's one of those things. There's no side view mirror. There's no rear view mirror. No.
And I think Jay Glazer feels the same way.
My mailbag is going up on NFL.com on Friday, and we will discuss some of the questions that were in said mailbag and perhaps a couple that were not a little later in the show. Also, Wes. Yeah, Wes. He's back to grinding. Summer break's over.
That is using the word grinding liberally.
All I see is two pieces on his archive have been added in the last several days.
That's really all you see.
The lights are back on.
So Wes, as you know, a man that knows the rosters of the NFL, he shared his thinnest and deepest position groups as we enter 2019. So we'll take a look at that and talk about some of the teams and units that jump out to us. But before that, let us do some news.
But all of them were sharp and right where you wanted to throw them. Do you know that in warm-ups, if you're going to have a day like that, like a starting pitcher or something?
No. Warm-ups, not really, but when I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Listen to the kid, Mark Sessler. That's what I call him, the kid.
Well, I don't think it's an act with him. I mean, he is who he is, so I'm on board, 100%.
Great piece on ESPN this week, a long form or a feature on Baker Mayfield by the great Mina Kimes. And guess what, Mark? A little early birthday present from me to you. Or late, depending how you look at it. On our show next Wednesday, Mina Kimes, to talk about her up-close and personal look at your hero.
I love it. She wrote, I would just say, go read this thing, because I learned a lot about Baker Mayfield, and I think that has a lot to do with the way that she gets to know her subjects, frames her questions, so an all-star guest.
No, that Mina did fine, but what about me?
Oh, you. Well,
setting
no.
Setting up this interview.
I mean, I was saving
Mina.
That part for now. What you've done is the Lord's work, Dan. And again, it's just...
That was for you, buddy.
I appreciate it to no end.
Let's get going with the news. The Falcons doing business again, but not with Julio Jones. Deion Jones, the playmaking linebacker, had been set to enter the final season of his rookie deal for Atlanta. Well, they like him. They're keeping him around. They inked Jones to a four-year, $57 million extension, $34 million guaranteed. That is confirmed by the team, turning 25 in November. This is one of the top linebackers in the game when it comes to pass coverage. And I don't need to tell you, modern football fan, that you need your coverage linebackers to succeed on defense in the modern NFL. Wes, the Falcons, we know they can score, maybe not as prolifically as they had a couple years ago, but they can always put up points. It's the defense that you want, so you want to keep a guy like this in the building, and they do.
Well, you mentioned it's, he's sort of the new breed of linebacker. This is what defensive coordinators want. It's what a lot of people are calling a money backer, where you are a linebacker with safety-level speed, probably closer to safety level size, and you can cover tight ends out of the backfield. They don't have to hide you too much in the run game, and I think this is where linebackers are going in the NFL, Deion Jones.
And we saw the difference on that defense when they lost him for a big portion of last year, along with their other injuries. This is the Falcons, to me, this is the team that is set up for a major bounce back. I mean, I picked them for the Super Bowl last year, and that obviously went completely south. I wouldn't hesitate to think about doing that again.
Feels like it's one of those teams that everybody is sleeping on just because of the injuries last year. And then I guess everybody's got questions, and their one question to me is, can those rookie offensive linemen step in and not be liabilities right off the bat? And I think if that's the case, there's no reason this cannot be a playoff
team. If that works out, they have a deep line, if that works out.
And, yes, Grady Jarrett, that deal got done on Monday, as we said. Julio Jones, they're looking to get a long-term deal done there with the greatest wide receiver in their franchise history. So this team remains kind of a model of stability in the NFC, and let's see if they can get back to the playoffs this season. In other news, Wes, you and I, we got a sandwich proposition locked in. And you know Nick Fortier, he does the damn thing on gogetmylunch.org, tracking every wager that we make on this show. And I already have, as I look at it, first of all, of course, Nick has it updated because that's what Nick does.
Wow.
I'm already locked into two bets, sandwich props already. I got when you and I were going at it a few weeks ago, apparently Jets will beat Browns in week two. That's out there as a sandwich prop. I don't remember that, but
which side did I come down on that one?
I mean, you took me on it. So I guess we have a sandwich on that. I don't remember that at all.
I don't either, but that was a heated back and forth.
It was
emotional.
It was all a blur at that point. Also, Rob Gronkowski, I have a wager with West, is playing for the Patriots by December. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk reported this week that a source close to Gronk pegs his potential for a first annual unretirement at 40%. Oh, West, you are so banged. It's July 16th, and there's already sources putting it at 40%, and you could point to, oh, he's down 15 pounds. All he has to do is gain like 7 to 10 pounds, and he's fine. You banged, and you know it, Wes. I'll let you get out of the prop right now.
Here's why I'm not worried.
You want to get out of the prop right now?
No. Here's why I'm not worried. If I'm Rob Gronkowski, I'm not dialing up my good buddy Mike Florio to tell him what percentage chance I might play in December. How does Mike Florio know this?
Gronk has an entourage. It's a leaky entourage.
Gronk doesn't even know what percentage chance he's playing this
It's a weird
year.
Thing to
Ew,
put a number
leaky
to.
Leaky entourage,
but
gross.
Yeah, that's unpleasant.
Why'd you look at me?
You have a leaky entourage over in West
that
is, Hollywood.
That becomes grosser when you put it in that sense.
You guys are my entourage.
And we are leaky. Absolutely. So, Wes, I'm giving you the chance to get out now, put your tail between your legs, and just acknowledge that you were wrong. Who am I talking to?
First of all, I can't be wrong before it happens. I mean, we don't even know what's going to happen here.
But that's what we do. We look into the future as analysts, and we predict things.
Right. I have just as much confidence now as I did before Rob Gronkowski told Mike Florio that he might play 40%.
I mean, at the core of this, are you concerned about your side of the bet? and you're trying to, you know, put this on Wes to get him to get out of a bet that you don't want to be a part of.
I'm resigned to it because as a Jets fan who perhaps delusionally is harboring thoughts of competing in the division this year, I don't want this guy coming back, even if he's not the same guy he once was. You know, he would provide a spark to the team if they had him. I just acknowledge it will happen.
The first thing that concerns me, though, is player X retires, then immediately loses. I know it's not – he could gain some of it back, but the mentality behind that tells me you're not thinking about coming back a month from now just to skip training camp.
I mean, he's grunt. You know, he's in the gym 7 hours a day and then partying the next 9 hours after that, then sleeping and then repeating. I mean, what else? He's not reading books, you know. He's not.
Well, that's
he's not
safe.
In wine country. You know, just smelling it and doing the thing where you sip the wine and then spit it into the metal thing. None of that's happening. He's not enjoying retirement. He's not traveling. You know.
Well,
he's Gronk. Anybody else want to take me up on it?
I'll take you up on it.
Yes!
He'll be back.
You believe he will be
back.
Yeah,
for sure.
He gets it.
And wait,
sure.
What is the parameters by December?
Is that December? December 1st or December 31st?
By the first minute of December, okay. It needs to happen. Get him signed by December 7th.
But
for
that
the
doesn't mean it happens in December. It could happen in November 12th.
Just as long as it happens before the calendar flips to December.
I'll take you up on that.
He'll be back.
Okay. And I don't mean back on the field. Signed with the team, practicing. Don't try to catch me in any type of loophole there. I know how you people operate on the other side of the table.
Why?
How we operate?
Wait,
please.
Why would there be a loophole? He's either playing for the Patriots or he's not.
No, it can't be like, well, he didn't play, though, until December
2nd. No, signed.
Yeah.
Signed.
Gotcha.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
All right, moving on. Yes, the Broncos began training camp, and already there was an injury scare. Multiple reporters at the practice reported that linebacker Todd Davis had to be carted off with a lower body injury. James Palmer of NFL Media reports that Davis injured his calf. He'll have an MRI, but the initial feeling is that he avoided a serious injury. With that in mind, I'd like to perform right here in the Beast Quake conference room. I wish we could lower the lights. But join me in a seance. Dear football gods, oh great, mighty, and powerful football gods, please bestow your mercy on the players of the National Football League this summer. These young men who represent the apex of what the human body is capable of. How cruel it is for us mortals to see these fine specimens struck down. If you must injure, please focus on petty thieves, bagel boss guy, certain political leaders, the divisive ones perhaps. Show your greatest mercy to men in green who play in New Jersey and say it's New York. The Browns team.
Thank you.
Thank you, oh great and merciful football gods. We put our faith and trust in ye. We are but specks of matter. Notice that. I would get him mad if he said something. I think a football god mask is. We are pawns in your wondrous game. Show mercy. Show mercy. Yes, Wes, you're on the show.
What are the odds we'd have a seance on this podcast and it's not led by Mark Sessler?
I think Mark has rubbed off.
That was powerful. I mean, I'm sure that will go according to plan. No injuries all season long.
Just It doesn't have to be on these men, these young men.
These specimens.
Specimens.
I'm going to vote for, also save that for the religious podcast.
Theology pod?
Theology pod.
Coming up later this summer, perhaps. Finally in the news, Mark, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Have you heard about this Area 51 thing?
I have, yes.
The internet going nuts. Mm-hmm. They're talking about a mass invasion of Area 51. More than 1 million people have signed up on Facebook with the plan to breach the gates of the famous, and some people, a lot of people that listen to this podcast are not from this country. Maybe they don't know what Area 51 is, a famous top secret government facility, perhaps in the world. And there's, you know, for decades and decades, there is the general belief that in addition to military testing of various warcraft, et cetera, if you believe on believe in life beyond this planet, that there might be spacecraft, alien spacecraft that is being housed and studied at Area 51. Roswell, New Mexico, of course, back in, what, 47?
Yes, correct.
Anyway, the event called Storm Area 51, They Can't Stop Us All, is set to go down on September 20th. Mark, and I ask you specifically, are you in?
I don't know if I'd be allowed time off from work to go do. I think it's going to lead to...
Tough time of year for us,
It is a little
20th.
Bit of a rough time schedule-wise. I think it would lead to many deaths if they attempt this. The military is not going to fold the tent and just allow people to roll in off a Facebook campaign. I think it would be an ultra tragedy if they attempt this.
This is just a joke, right?
I think it started that way, and then it
started
picked up a lot of steam.
Kind of as a joke, and now it's got some heat to it. A million people.
No, this is totally a joke, and this isn't, like, that's never going to happen. I predict that not one person will march on Area 51 on that day.
No, but people
take them up
are
on
crazy.
That
I bet there will be some idiots that do it, but the government has contracted out defense forces that roam the grounds in big, like, white, like, Dodge trucks and, like, submachine guns and things of that.
What kind of hellscape is that?
And they're allowed to shoot on sight. Because
yeah, you're not just rolling up
federal,
to the front door of this place and catching them by surprise.
It's viewed as...
Front door.
It is viewed as essentially a fortified military complex of the U.S. government. So you kind of forfeit your right to live if you choose to, quote unquote, invade it.
Yeah, here's what I would do as a side mission to this is get a large group of people to storm Antarctica, because I believe that the number one hotspot for alien technology is underneath the ground in Antarctica, in the Arctic territory. Forget this. This is a diversion. Forget Area 51. We all know that there's probably something going on there, but this is the part of the Earth that no one's investigating.
Global warming could affect whatever's going on.
Not by September 30th or 20th.
That's fair. That's what's happening in the news.
Remember?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, I was just going to say, you seem to know a lot of people that are a little bit out there.
What?
Do you have anybody that signed up for the Area 51 raid?
No. But remember those kids in, like, middle school that they'd be like, at, you know, 11:55 when the clock strikes, we're going to start a food fight. And then 11:55 rolls around, and then, like, everyone's sort of, like, tense and, like, look, and the teachers, like, heard about it, so they're kind of on watch. And then, like, one, like, jackass stands up and throws, like, a bag of chips, and then he gets
busted.
In trouble.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen with Area 51.
This
like,
is
one.
Area 51 analysis.
One dumb person's going to show
You're not
show
buying
up.
It.
But instead of getting sent to the principal's office, that person will be shot 17 times.
They will
the
be scattered by multiple gunfire.
And face.
Can't put them back together again.
All right. That's what's happening in the news. Let's get to Wes wrote a double banger. I mean, you want to talk about a guy putting in the work.
Let's calm down on that.
This dude gets it. Wes wrote two pieces, thinnest position groups and deepest position groups. I read it. Of course, it's the stuff that makes Wes one of the top NFL writers.
Trademarked Wes content.
Exactly. I'm going to start with you, Mark. Why don't get us going? Why don't we pick out some things, some teams, some units that kind of jumped out to you, and of course, Wes, pipe in wherever.
I like the deep, thin aspect of this. I like to call it thick or thin.
I like that.
THICC. Like some of these teams have a lot of juice here. I come away with further. I know everyone thinks that the Denver Broncos are your ride or die.
It's just Wes. Oh, you're saying? I thought you were saying everyone thinks that.
The West has been pushing hard for the Broncos. It's been a theme, but I don't think nearly as much as your belief in the Dallas Cowboys because they show up twice on the thick list.
Woo! THICC.
I think a part of that is I can't believe that somebody as smart as Greg or anyone else following the NFL does not see that the Cowboys are an absolutely loaded team and they're a playoff team. Like, I just don't see why people expect them to come back to the pack.
Well, so you have their linebacker crew, which I'm not surprised at either because this should be evident, but also their offensive line.
Yeah, like the linebackers, to me, just think of how much more successful Jason Garrett would have been if he had depth at linebacker behind Sean Lee for the decade he's been in charge. Every time Sean Lee went down during the prime of Sean Lee's career, the defense fell apart. And now he's a luxury, not a necessity. In fact, they're better off when he doesn't play because then you've got Leighton Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith out there. So you have, if one of those guys go down, you got Sean Lee, you plug in there. I think that's a great insurance policy.
Offensive line, I like this one because if you remember back to Zeke Elliott's rookie year, a big part of the discussion there was not only did they do the move, which a lot of teams are afraid of, which is take a running back early in the draft, they then put that player with an elite offensive line. We didn't hear that as much last year, and I think a part of that was what was going on with All-Pro center Travis Frederick. That is, I think people are sleeping on that a little bit, Wes, which you're not, obviously, that if Frederick comes back and he's strong, and these other pieces, Tyron Smith, if he's healthy and is who Tyron Smith is, and these other strong players, of course, Zach Martin, that the idea that this offensive line can be dominant in addition to having a dominant running back, and that's scary stuff, especially when you factor in that they went and they got a premier wide receiver on the outside now, and Dak Prescott is fine, good to very good perhaps. That's a great offense.
And I think also it helps that the emergence of Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator. They talked about this team entering modern football after not really having one of the more imaginative attacks in recent years. The prediction from our last show, the one that I was wavering on doing instead of the last one I did when I went super negative, was that the Eagles and the Cowboys at that date, what was it, October 15th or so, will both be 6-0 and prepare for a Sunday night football showdown in week 7. And I think that you cannot sleep on the Cowboys with all the changes they've had and the better drafting this team has put forward in the last couple of years.
What I like about their line is even when 2 years ago they were celebrated as one of the greatest offensive lines of all time, the best position group in the NFL, and they didn't rest on their laurels. They went out and drafted Connor Williams in the second round. Then they went out and drafted Connor McGovern in the third round. And they've got Joe Looney, a guy who played 16 games at center last year. Now he's just valuable insurance.
And for what it's worth, Mark, this is the week every summer where EA Sports and Madden drop all their ratings and people pay it a surprising amount of attention.
A lot of annoyed people.
Yes. The Cowboys and Eagles ranked 1-2 in terms of overall team strength by Madden. So they're with you.
It's all lining up.
And by the way, your Brownies just 5 points away. That was when
minus the offensive line strength. There's some issues there.
Well, I'm just talking about the Madden rating. But when I was a kid, the Jets were always crummy, typically. But whenever they had a decent team, that's always when I would get the video game because then I could play with a decent Jets team. If you ever, Mark, were to go back and return to your roots as a video game, football video game player, this is the year. What a loaded Browns team to play as a video game.
How much does all that cost if I were just to go out and splurge?
You have a system. You don't have an Xbox or a PS4,
no.
I presume. All right, so that's about $300, I'd say, $275 to $300. The game, maybe you can get some type of code or something because you're in the industry. Get that game on the arm, as my
it's
dad
the kind
says.
Of thing I'll just go throw on the wife's credit card and we'll pick up the pieces later.
Don't your sons like use your credit card to get $300 worth of
they
Legos?
Have attempted that and they were successful and we returned.
Got to divert those funds. I'll throw one out there on Wes on your thinnest list. The Packers running backs, and that gets as again many of us, Mark, not you as much, but
no,
many of us
me.
Want to see Aaron Rodgers return to glory just because it's football's more fun. But there is a lot to be nervous about, right, Wes, about this offense. We've talked about whether there's enough around Davante Adams when it terms of skill players on the outside and in the passing game. But the running back situation is hardly settled.
I think fantasy football players have been arguing for Aaron Jones to get more playing time for a while, and I've made the same argument. But he really hasn't done himself favors by playing at a bigger weight than he should have been playing at. He hasn't been in the greatest shape. He's had MCL sprains in both of his first 2 years. The coach, and you can rip on Mike McCarthy all you want, but he knows Aaron Jones' strength and weaknesses better than we do and decided not to play him much on passing downs because that's not his strength. On the other hand, their passing specialist, Jamal Williams, just isn't a good runner. He's averaged almost 2 yards per carry less than Aaron Jones. So if Jones goes down, you're left with a very pedestrian rushing attack and not much depth behind the two of them.
I think another concern is that when you read about Jamal Williams and how he would fit into a Matt LaFleur offense, that Matt LaFleur is a zone run scheme type coach and Jamal Williams is not a perfect fit for that on any level.
Your biggest concern on your thinnest list is the Giants, and while we've talked endlessly on this podcast about the relative worth of Eli Manning, what you're talking about here is their defense, and it's hard to disagree. After you get rid of Olivier Vernon and Landon Collins, what's left here, Wes? How are they going to stop anyone? Forget about who's playing quarterback. How are they going to not be giving up 28 points a game?
Well, this is what happens when you rebuild. I mean, I guess you could say it's a necessary evil. Some teams don't believe that you have to rebuild all the time, but the Giants tore it down. And you're hoping that the young guys can eventually be as good as Snacks Harrison and Olivier Vernon and Landon Collins and the guys who've been playing at near a Pro Bowl level for a few years. You hope that the young guys eventually get to that place, but I would be shocked if it's this year that all those young guys started playing well.
Another case for Daniel Jones entering the lineup sooner rather than later is that eventually Gettleman's going to have to put something on the field to convince Giants brass that he should be around beyond 2019. And if the defense is in a full-blown rebuild and the old quarterback is obviously not the future, Jones has to play to show management that this guy is doing something right. Like, yep. Otherwise, what are we staring down the barrel of 3-13 and no hope?
And Gettleman created, for obvious reasons, a bit of a radioactive situation for himself. But it's almost like the defensive side of the ball has been not noticed or talked about as much because it's all about Eli Manning all the time. But then suddenly you're going to put a lot of pressure on a broken down Eli Manning or a rookie quarterback to probably score a lot of points to win games.
Wes, during this exercise, when you're going through the rosters and doing your process, which on either side of this, thinnest, deepest, what surprised you? What team surprised you? What unit?
You know what? And some of this doesn't even make the list, just because there might be some deeper or thinner units than I wrote about, but some of it is what's compelling to write about. So that's how you end up making the choices. But I'd say the Ravens, how they are so stark, they have the deepest position group in the NFL might be their secondary. They are just absolutely loaded there.
Number one on your list.
But then they lost
Thick.
They're pass rushers. They lose Suggs, Za'Darius Smith, Urban from up front. And those guys have more sacks, hits, and hurries than the rest of their defense combined. So you're asking a lot of unproven guys to do work there. And I really thought about having their wide receivers on this list for thinnest, too, because their only proven guy really is Willie Snead, who's a slot receiver. Seth Roberts, I guess, another slot receiver. I just don't see the depth there. So you're talking about a team that has some very strong points and some very weak points.
When you went number 7 on the thin list, Chicago Bears kicker, was that sort of a little bit of a tidbit for Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Very you got to keep Dan-oriented entry.
Wes gets it. That's why.
You got to keep the kicker fans interested.
Wes totally gets it, and people shouldn't sleep on how important it is to have a solid kicking foundation on your
just
team.
Just ask $20 million man Robbie Gould how important kicking is.
Well, Ricky, you were a little young when Adam Vinatieri was a hero, but
in New England, no, he was the best.
He sure was. Still kicking, almost unbelievable. Did you know he's still in the league?
Yeah, but he's Not my problem.
He's regarded as the best.
The co-
I think so.
I don't know if you guys, I did not involve myself in it, and now there's talk that Russia is stealing everyone's faces. This face app that everybody went crazy putting.
I did your picture though. So
oh, thank you.
That was a very tedious 24 hours on Twitter. By the way,
I took a screenshot of your Instagram just to see what. Yeah.
Total violation, Erica.
I like that.
Now I'm in the system as well. But kudos to the Colts who did a nice job. They did like a four screen of like Luck, whoever, and then the last one. There was no face app done. It was just him with the white beard.
That was a good one, but a stunning lack of creativity by all 32 team Twitter accounts by doing the exact same social media post with their players turning old.
What would you have done if you were in that position?
I'd be the one team that said we're not going to do what everyone else is doing.
No all, content
and
from
And by
us.
The way, all in the course of 15 or 20 minutes, they all dropped the same tweet. I mean, slightly ponderous.
Isn't that their function?
I mean, it is, but I mean, I have issues with that too.
Anything else, Mark, Wes, anything that jumped out to you? And you could, again, check this out. NFL.com/Wessling. The archive is bustling.
Let them go read it, but the Patriots being on the thin list, and for at this point in the offseason, that wide receiver group with you're kind of praying, if you're a Patriots fan, that Josh Gordon is brought back into the mix because there's not a lot going on there.
I mean, we've seen Brady carry offenses with the leading receiver as Jabbar Gaffney or Danny Amendola. Or Malcolm Mitchell as a playoff hero. That's a lot to ask of a 39-year-old beating Father Time. It's a lot more to ask of a 42-year-old who showed actual signs of decline last year.
Very fair. All right, there you go. Check it out. Wes is back. Yes, the Infinity Stones. Put them into the big power glove. Explosions. Everyone dies? Lives? Do you live or die when there's these stones are collected?
I mean, there's I'm not the expert on this,
Ricky,
but it's...
You're 20-something?
Yep.
Live or die when the bad guy or the good guy gets the stones in the power glove?
I don't watch that
They make the decision.
Probably
the bad
die.
Guy, the bad guy wore
oh, really?
And wiped out, like, I believe it was like 40% of Earth.
Dang.
What about the other planets? Aren't there like other stars and stuff involved?
Then we're going beyond what I know about at that point. But
yes, the mailbag live NFL.com Friday morning. Check it out. It's the only mailbag that matters, and Jay Glazer knows it. He knows, Mark.
Oh, I think it's on his radar. There's no doubt about that.
Bunch of questions. You guys are great. You always do annoy me, listeners. No matter how much I try to make it clear that. This prompt I do on Twitter is for my column, The Mailbag, and then I get inevitably 14 questions about which one of us would survive on an island, or is Mark happy, or is Erica, like, you know, on Bumble or whatever. Like, it's just, you know, it's not always about the podcast, but... since we're here, I'll go through some of the questions that
I mean, what you endure, Dan, is just, remarkable to us.
I appreciate their interest in our show and my social media account.
There ever been a mailbag without that who would win on a deserted island?
Never.
Who would?
It's a Lou Gehrig streak. Well, Wes, it's interesting. Wes, I noticed in my mentions, clicked favorite when someone said Wes would... would prevail.
And I really, honestly, you caught me on a day where I really, like, waffled on whether to click like on this or not. I'm like, no, because I don't want to encourage the narrative that this is what I would be like.
We don't like to talk about these things.
But I clicked like just because it was somebody trying to connect with our show, and I was like, all right, nice.
You threw a bone.
Yeah.
I saw it, and of course, what I'm going to see is Wes is agreeing with this person, and perhaps you do believe that you would survive.
Right, that is a distinct possibility.
I don't think it's ever been a part of me, even before cancer, to be a divide and conquer person.
That's what that.
I don't play politics enough to do that. Yeah, like, I'm not Richard Hatch. It's not happening.
Oh, I know. I would not be the one to survive.
Yeah, but you have like post cancer like strength.
No, I actually
mental strength. That's for sure.
Did you see me trying to run around the bases last night?
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that
10-2,
up.
10-2 division champions, baby.
We knocked off a team that was in first place all year, and now we have the best team that the Shield has ever had going into the tournament.
It is a juggernaut.
We going to the ship. What?
Some people, we heard through a source that some members of the opposing team believe that the first baseman of the Shield, number 23, Dan Hanzus, was taking the game too seriously.
In what manner were you?
Let me tell you
something.
Oh, is that because you argued with the umpire?
You literally were like, who can say it better, ref, me or you?
Blue. You probably said blue, not ref. It was a blown call by the umpire. Let him know about it. And I'm never going to apologize for being competitive.
Yeah, but you were like, I'm right on top of it, ref. I'm right here.
So you agree with the other team?
A lot at stake.
No,
here.
But it was like it went on for a little while, and then Dan was like, bro, I'm right on top of it. He's like, who can see better, me or you? And the ref was like, you're 2 seconds from being out of here.
The best part was, and I'm never that guy, but I was very frustrated at that moment of the game. I said, that's bad. That's bad. And he goes, you're bad.
Love it.
Yes! I was like, all right, we're mixing it up. Anyway, we're 10-2. We won the division. One more win for glory.
Well, we're streaking. As you pointed out last night, we have played – well, now they're the second and third place teams in the league in the last few weeks, and we beat them by a combined 37-9. Yeah, we've been rolling through some good teams.
You don't want to look past anyone, especially in the playoffs, but this has like an 85 Bears feel to it.
There was a time with a previous team where I thought you had an 89 Niners vibe, but yes. Maybe we didn't even realize how good you could be. You're peaking now.
This feels 85 Niners, 13 Seahawks.
Well, our girls have never been better. Our Niners. Girls are carrying the guys now sometimes, and that has not happened often.
Yeah. And I didn't even get mad at you when you had that embarrassing baseball
game.
Yeah,
I really did screw up last night. I was just standing on first, and I like hit a really nice like a slammer right down past, like, past the third baseman, and so like ran it out. It was so good, and I was like, yes. And then something happened where the next person hit the ball, and I like just like stood there, like I didn't move. I don't know what happened. I was like off in thought, but I was paying attention. I don't know.
You were
but,
like just daydreaming about your hit the previous.
Yeah, I was like I
minute.
Hit a slammer.
Understandable.
Total slammer.
Anyway, I'm gonna have to use that during next week's game. Hit a slammer.
In the mailbag, I open the mailbag with a question I do get every year around this time, but I always answer it because to me, there's no better way to end an NFL season besides the Jets championship than a team winning a Super Bowl for the first time. And the way history has it, it's been happening now going back to the beginning of this century. Like every 3 to 4 years, a team is winning a Super Bowl for the first time. So you go back to, of course, you had the Pats in 01, and then you had the Bucks in 02, then the Colts in 06, the Saints in 09, the Seahawks in 13, the Eagles in 17. Okay? All right, Ravens fans, I remember you. You were in 2002. But anyway, so that tells us that it's going to happen again. Maybe not this year, but soon. So there are 12 teams that have never won the Super Bowl. I put them in order of Super Bowl win probability this year. Tell me if you have any disagreement. Cardinals, Bills, Lions, Bengals, Titans, Panthers, Browns, and now the top five. It's a pretty good list. There's some real contenders. Jags, Falcons, Texans, Vikings, Chargers. And I think those top three teams are actual legit title contenders. I think the Falcons and Jaguars, if a couple of things go the right way, are absolute title contenders. And even the Browns, with all the talent they have, if they get on a crazy run, you never know.
I think the Titans, Panthers, and Browns have better rosters than the Jaguars and Texans.
Yeah, the Jaguars are the ones that stood out to me, too. I know that your stance on the Titans in general is not favorable, but I might put them ahead of the Titans or on the Panthers, depending on quarterback play.
You could flip-flop them. I think they're kind of in the same window. I think only Cincinnati, Detroit, Buffalo, and Arizona are kind of completely out of the conversation. At least winning this year.
I'm not convinced that the Nick Foles experience, as much as I like the person, is going to translate. I don't want to see it first.
I don't like anything about their offense, really. Like, what excites you other than if you believe that Nick Foles is going to really turn that offense? Other than the quarterback, what excites you about
them? What about the Vikings, too? They're kind of, after all the hype going into last year, you almost hear nothing about them right now, which I think is a good thing, and it's good for Kirk Cousins. This is still, I think, a loaded team, And if Cousins can just play at a high level, why am I doing too much hand stuff?
No, I'm just, I was, well, that, and
you
also
were mocking me.
Kirk Cousins just is just going to hand off the ball every time.
Well, one of the biggest.
He throws the ball a lot.
He's not going to this year.
Okay. We don't talk about assistant coaches enough, except Mark, he does. But I thought Kubiak was one of the biggest additions of any coaching staff all year. And I really like the Vikings this year.
I mean, that line needs to be better.
Chargers, everybody agrees, the most likely team to break the Super Bowl jinx of this group. Nicky doesn't agree.
I would put them in the driver's seat.
I'd agree with that. I mean, if anything, they've not lived up to their talent. They find a way to crumble in January.
I also think we've been talking about their offense for the last few years, and their defense is probably better than their offense right now.
Here's one from Justin Brill. He asks, if you could choose any team from any year to be on Hard Knocks, which team would you choose? I'll tell you who I went with, the 85 Bears. All-time great team, of course, 18-1, arguably the best defense ever. He had a ton of interesting personalities, McMahon, The Fridge, Singletary, Buddy Ryan, Walter Payton, and then you have Pete Ditka. And I think the cheat code for Hard Knocks is if you can get an engaging, interesting, funny personality, a head coach, the series is going to fly. And Ditka in 1985 was one of the more famous sports figures in the country. And with his mix of, you know, a very confident man, a huge ego, a big star, I feel like that would have been a great, like, centerpiece of the show to have 85 Ditka.
I like that a lot. The name that came to me was the Oilers, the 93 Oilers, the team where Buddy Ryan and Kelvin Gilbride had a punch-out situation. The only reason, right, though, I'd go with maybe even an earlier Oilers team is because you lose Jerry Glanville because the head coach was Jack Pardee. I would love to see Jerry Glanville, as much as I despised him because as a young Browns fan, the Oilers were always an annoying team to deal with, but I would love to see them on Hard Knocks. They had a lot of characters, too. You'd have Warren Moon, the whole crew.
You could go Love You Blue Oilers. Get some Bum Phillips action in there. I would look for the 70s as a sweet spot because the NFL hasn't gone so overly corporate. The money is not as much of a factor. It's more personalities involved. It's more people being themselves, less political correctness. And I think you'd have a lot more interesting stories. I would choose, like, the John Madden era Raiders when they're just full of, like...
Oh, Al Davis would be all over
yeah,
that'd
be great.
I want Al Davis coverage, definitely.
That would, we do... I mean, we get Mark Davis this year. Is that... Is that a close enough facsimile?
An interesting man in his own right.
A gentleman from Los Angeles named, what is his name? Mark Sessler asks, will Browns Jets Week 2 national television end our enduring friendship? You know, no, it won't end it. But it will get dicey if they both become contenders, legitimately.
I think the one time that we really hit on this topic in our studio, it went very poorly.
Explosive.
It is an explosive topic.
I mean, it would be a great problem, Mark.
I think it'll be fine if Cleveland were to win. I'm much more concerned about if it doesn't go well, what's going to happen to Dan.
I mean, I could throw it the other way. I believe that you would potentially not do well if I were crowing about the Jets beating the Browns in the AFC title game.
I don't think I would do well at all. I'd be probably steaming about it at home.
I know I wouldn't do well with it. I mean, I believe maybe you should admit to the same, though.
I think that at least half the problem is me.
So. No, that's too much. No, it'd probably be a 65-35 issue on my side.
I mean,
side.
I think I can go back and forth. I could easily become the 65.
I just want one of those teams to be good for the first time in our podcast history.
The problem is
it's never happened, like
a hand-in-hand situation. They almost need to be duplicates of each other in terms of their success. If one of them were to totally take a dirt nap, then we're in bad territory.
But wouldn't that at least keep them off each other's radar with stakes being high?
No, because if Cleveland went 3-13 and became one of these, like, worst teams money can buy, Bobby Bonilla Mets type situation, it's going to be awful. I'd rather be on a deserted island and have to talk about it 3 times, 4 times, 25 times a week.
That's fair.
Negative.
That's fair. Let's see. A couple more, and then we'll get out of here. Area 51 question. We hit Area 51 pretty hard today. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. This guy in Missouri. Who of the four is most likely not to help someone in need?
I believe we would all help someone in need.
I don't think there's a standout candidate answer to that one.
I think we're all, on balance, decent people. I don't know about Ricky. Ricky might run the other way.
Well, she wasn't. I mean, if you want to expand it to five, I think she's. You've got a candidate right there.
Would you help somebody in need?
Are you kidding me? Of course not.
Let's
That's
see.
Why your dumpster gets lit on fire.
This from Doc West is for you. Since Chris Wessling is a recovering Bengals fan, what miraculous event would have to occur to get him to join Bills Mafia? I feel like that's a team that maybe you could fall in love with, Wes.
I like their fan base quite a bit.
What about their quarterback? You like him?
I don't know yet. I like watching him because I don't know what he's going to do, and he's pretty fun to see run around. He's a dynamic athlete, but no, I just don't see, like, I'm one of those people, if you're a fan, it has to happen organically as you're growing up, as you're a child. And I don't think anyone would ever replace, like, the late 70s and 80s Bengals for me.
Mark Benedict Morton asks, how does Mark's family cope with him being vegetarian? Are they also off meat? If yes, have your kids ever tried it and disliked it, Mark?
They eat anything. I mean, they have a very... My kids I don't restrict them in any way with what they eat, and I'm quite appalled by their diet on some level. So it's like I'm not, you know, lording my ways over anyone.
Tyler asks, do you guys still talk to K Rich? Also, when is Spice Rack coming back? No, and soon enough, maybe draft time.
I'll hear from K Rich every once in a while. She sent me some very positive messages when I was going through cancer. She's been nice.
Right, good like girl. A definitive no makes it sound like we've decisively shut her out of
our
life.
That's just, not
we're
what
not,
I mean.
We're not it's interacting. Not,
we had a former producer, Erica.
Yeah, I was going to ask, who is this? Long for ago. New listeners.
She's in Philadelphia now.
Yes.
Very successful.
Seems to be doing well. All right. That's about it.
What was the other question from that person?
I don't know.
The other question?
Behind the K Rich question, there were two questions.
The meat thing. Have your kids ever tried not eating meat?
That was in the same tweet?
No, Spice Rack.
Spice Rack. Oh, Spice Rack. When's he going to be on the show again?
Didn't we try to have him on and it just didn't work out timing-wise?
Timing, he got caught up with something with work and it was around the draft. So, yeah, he kind of missed his window, his annual window. But it doesn't change anything, our feelings about Spice Rack. We love spicy.
Oh, yeah.
He'll
absolutely.
All right. That's it. Summer break's over. Back on Monday. Yes, Mina Kimes of ESPN will join us on Wednesday. We also, it appears to be on track to happen, a visit to a NFL camp coming up that we'll do a show from said headquarters. We look forward to that. And all the other stuff that you've come to expect from the Around the NFL podcast as we head toward our seventh season together on the show. How about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
We started in July of 2013, and here we are.
I didn't think we'd get to seven episodes.
And Ricky, is that true?
Yeah, I worried at the beginning that we'd be terrible. I mean, I thought my voice coming from Tybee was like, nobody's going to want to listen to this idiot.
You were right.
Ricky, I've asked you also to track when our 1,000th episode happens. That's coming up.
It's coming up.
So we want to celebrate that in some way, maybe with a live show. Who knows? We're trying to do some different things this year. Maybe our Sunday night show, we might have some fun, a new wrinkle to that as well. So behind the scenes, you know, we're cranking. Mark especially.
Oh, I mean, I have been about as lazy as can be the last couple weeks, but I'm back now.
Flip the switch, baby. All right, let's go. This is Dan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, Ricky Hollywood. At the table. We're back in the studio next week. Three times. Here it comes. Till Monday.